Happy Sabbath, Church.
Happy Sabbath.
The song is called A Treasure Too Vast to Measure. Jesus is a treasure too vast to measure. Amen? Going in 100 directions, wound so tight you can't see. This world has got an evil conductor. Must we play in that symphony? Listen to a word of admonition. Get out while you still can. How about trusting in God and living His plan? So take a step back, some time out. Listen for His voice. Get away from all that noise. Make the right choice. Don't be afraid, don't be guided by fear. God has promised to be near. Take a step back, some time out. Hear His voice. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't walk down that wide, wide road. He will carry your heaviest burdens, lighten your heaviest load. He is the God of all creation, knows just what you're going through. So why don't you start trusting in Him? Stop trusting in you. So take a step back, some time out. Listen for His voice. Get away from all that noise. Make the right choice. Don't be afraid, don't be guided by fear. God has promised to be near. Take a step back, some time out. Hear His voice. Don't you hear Him calling out your name? Come unto me. Can't you see you're slowly losing your grasp on all eternity? We are blades of grass withering, but God's word remains forever. Let go of what is holding you. Let go of what is holding you. He is a treasure too vast to measure. A treasure too vast to measure. So take a step back, some time out. Listen for His voice. Get away from all that noise. Make the right choice. Don't be afraid, don't be guided by fear. God has promised to be near. Take a step back, some time out. Hear His voice. Take a step back, some time out. Hear His voice.
Thank you, Dennis. On June 6, USA Today led with the bad news. The US federal government financial condition eroded rapidly last year. If you figure in the unfunded Social Security, Medicare, pension, and health care fund for government employees, plus retirement and disabled payments, disability payments for the federal military, you would come up with $62 trillion, actually $62.3 trillion, that we are in the red. These calculations were done separately by two organizations, USA Today and the Peter G. Peterson Foundation. Meet the average American family. By the way, their finances are in shambles. They have $3,800 in the bank. No one has a retirement account in 50% of American households. Their neighbors, the other 50%, have $35,000 saved for retirement. That does not include any bonds, mutual funds, or stocks, which means this fund is not going to grow very much. And if it's in a CD or any kind of a savings, they're getting about 1 to 2%, which inflation will eat that. Not only that, but you're paying taxes on that, so you're back in the red. The house is worth $160,000, but they owe $95,000 to the bank. They make an average of $43,000 a year, but can't manage to pay their $2,200 credit card balance. 40% of working Americans are not saving for their retirement account. 24% of workers have postponed their retirement age last year. 18% of people polled are confident that they will have enough money for their retirement. 7.7% of Americans do not have a bank account. Only 1.7% of residents in Utah do not have a checking account or bank account, and I think I'll move to Utah. 16.7% of Mississippi residents do not have a bank account. By the way, Mississippi holds a record for the state of number one obesity. Less than 4 in 10 of American adults have an emergency fund to fall back on in case of disaster. $117,951 is the average American household debt. That's enough to buy 7.5 2010 Honda Civics. $2 trillion is the combined amount of American households in debt. Americans and the government fail to live within their means. Instead of cutting back and saving for the future, for retirement and other expenses, many have lived in the moment. And unfortunately, that's difficult to come back from. Even though Americans are hardworking people, industrious people, they undertake too much debt and save too little. Let me pray. Dear Lord, your Bible, your word, makes it very clear for your people to handle their finances. And Lord, because we have not followed your principles, your precept, the world and the United States, the state and the county are all in chaos in their finances as they continue to spend more without cutting back. And so, Lord, I pray for your blessing upon everyone here in their finances, that we have you, we have the Holy Spirit, we have the Holy Bible that tells us exactly what to do. So, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will guide each and every one of us to your glory in our finances. And, Lord, the devil is having a heyday in the world, in the finances, in many families, including Christian families. So, Lord, I pray that we can return our hearts back to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but you have but never have your fill, and you put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in purses with holes in them. Haggai 1, 5-6. In the 1960s, the average American saved 11%. By the 1990s, it has dropped to 5%. In 2003, it fell to 2.3%. Because of the shaky economies, the savings rate has risen between 5 and 7%. Despite the savings, many Americans are failing to save for their retirement. As an example, China saves 50% of their meager income. India saves 25% of their meager income. Medicare and Social Security are going bankrupt, so individuals cannot rely on those programs or the programs for their retirement or if they are unable to work. I'll give you a good example. The president's new jobs plan is going to cost between $300 and $400 billion, but no one said where it's going to come from. Guess where it's going to come from? More than likely, Social Security. Actually, that's a report that I read by a financial institution. We need to save up money now and prepare for the future. Only 60% of Americans are saving for retirement. So what about all those? What about the other people? What are they doing? Hopefully, they have some children that will take them in their old age, or a backup plan. May God help you. Be good to your children now. Otherwise, worst case scenario, you might sleep in the garage. Finances can be difficult in today's world, but it's important to cut costs where you can and start saving aggressively. And I have said before, be aggressive in your IRA or your Roth IRA. It is probably the greatest things that our government has come up with. Imagine if you put money in this thing and you buy stocks, bonds, or invest in things, and you made 100% profit, you don't pay a single penny tax. You better buy it quick before the government realizes what they have done. Debt is a condition that exists when the following circumstances are true: past due money, goods, or services owed other people. The total of unsecured liabilities exceeds total assets. In other words, there is a negative balance. God will give a sense of peace when finances are managed according to His will. There are ways to get out of debt. No rocket science here. Stop spending. Start repaying what you owe. Don't borrow more. Remember, if you can't pay it in cash, you can't afford it. If you can't pay off your credit card at the end of the month, you can't afford it. The principle of this verse applies here. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures and turmoil with it. Proverbs 15:16. The way to stay out of debt is to accumulate some savings. There is precious treasures and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but the foolish man swallows it up. Proverbs 21:20. An inch is a cinch, a yard is hard. Start creating a habit of saving. Start small and create that habit and start accumulating more savings. A lot of people are allergic to savings. They don't even know what it means. In this day and age, spending is the rule of the day, and debt is something we ignore until we cannot function anymore. People like to spend until they drop dead financially. Anxiety about investment and profits will disappear when Christians accept God's provision. We must believe that His wisdom is superior to ours and that He does care all about our needs. Don't worry then saying what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear for clothing. Matthew 6:31. Peace comes from accepting God's plan for your life and making the best of it. The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes to poverty, Proverbs 21:5. God tells us to put the things of the past in the past. Often that means making restitution to those who we have wronged. The lessons learned and the blessings received will be worth the sacrifice and discomfort that comes from setting things right. Deceitfulness and dishonesty are an abomination before God, and effort is required to escape those habit traps. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." Luke 19:8. Greediness and covetousness are a result of being discontented. To overcome those attitudes, we must seek contentment in a moderate lifestyle. That may be difficult at first, as we tend to look at our circumstances instead of looking to God, but there will never be peace in our finances otherwise. "He who practices deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who speaks falsehood shall not maintain his position before me," Psalms 101:7. Many today here in the islands live off of the state because they don't want to work. And here in the state of Hawaii, we reward people who do not want to work. When we consistently crave more than we have, or always demanding, that is being greedy. Materialism becomes the object of our lives. "When I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud. Then they forgot me," Hosea 13:6. The wicked boasts of his heart's desire, and the greedy man curses and spurns the Lord. In his pride, the wicked does not seek God. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God, Psalms 10:3-4. As Nebuchadnezzar was on his rooftop, bragging how great and wonderful he was, before he could finish his sentence, he was on all fours eating organic grass. Recently, three of the most wealthy and powerful men on Wall Street were in the news. These three men were what everyone wanted to be like. They reached the apex on Wall Street. They were worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Unfortunately, they thought they were invisible. David Sokol was next in line to be chairman of Berkshire Hathaway, with its famous now chairman, Warren Buffett. He could not resist the temptation and fell into unethical behavior and was fired. Rajat Gupta has been on practically every business magazine. He is one of the most sought-after persons to be on the Fortune 500 board of directors. When you have done any work or anything with Goldman Sachs, you have arrived in the world of business. He was on the board of Goldman Sachs. He was caught passing insider information. Roger Redman was a mover and a shaker on Wall Street. This young man was the founder of Galleon Fund. He was worth a whole lot of money. People always wanted to be with Reg, as he was called. By the end of this year, he will be sentenced to 19 and a half years in federal prison for insider trading. The love of money, power, and control. Watch out to be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. Luke 12:15. Doing what someone else has been promoted by the liberal media as being acceptable and normal. However, God's word describes this attitude differently. This you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Ephesians 5:5. Wasting money to the point that basic needs go unmet is common today. If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. 1 Timothy 5:8. When we reverse the order of priorities in our lives, we suffer both spiritually and financially. Overcommitment is as extreme as slothfulness. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Psalms 127:2. A self-first attitude is normally characterized by irresponsible spending for things that yield temporary satisfaction and of little usefulness. We must establish one who is never willing to deny impulses to spend and constantly seeks to indulge in whimsical desires will always be in financial bondage. We must establish a value system that does not include the I deserve it mentality or the let's do it mentality. The seed that fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. And as they go on their way, they are choked by worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. Luke 8:14. Those who depend on riches to make themselves superior to others will eventually find out how poor they are. We don't usually think of this as a financial bondage, but it really is. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. 1 Timothy 6:17. Many people in financial difficulties blame everyone else but themselves with their problems. They have never submitted to God's authority or yielded to his wisdom. Inwardly, they may even resent God. Again, attitude is the keynote in God's plan. The misuse of money causes frustration and worry, but God provides peace and freedom. These qualities show themselves in every aspect of a Christian life. The release from tension and anxiety about overdue bills, a clear conscience, and the sure knowledge that God is in control again. There is no guarantee that a Christian life will be financially trouble-free. After all, we are humans and we do make mistakes. But God also allows situations to shape our character. The secret of a happy, contented life is learning how to be content in the good times and in the bad, as the Apostle Paul, knowing how to be content with either. Contentment will come as a product of our great and wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means and also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both having abundance and suffering need. Philippians 4:11-12. Many Christians sacrifice both their families and their personal relationship with Jesus Christ to spend more time at work, recreation, and even ministry can be too much. Balance is the key word, and God's word teaches. Do not worry yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. When you set your eyes on it, it is gone, for wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle's and flies towards heaven. Proverbs 23, 4 and 5. And then there's the other extreme. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who pursues worthless things lacks sense. Proverbs 12, 11. God expects us to live less extravagantly and not to be swayed by the foolish sensualism promoted by the liberal mass media. Often Christians question whether they should do any planning. They ask, well, shouldn't we just depend on God for everything? The answer is yes, but you are not to sit at home and watch TV and waiting on God to deliver manna again. Although some may think so, this is not God's design. Throughout the Bible, we see leaders making plans and seeing them through for God's glory. Joshua, Caleb, Noah, for some, planning is an essential element for any financial success. God is an orderly provider and expects us to do the same. As we read in Proverbs, wisdom is found in planning. By wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. And by knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24, 3 and 4. The first step to plan correctly is to assess the problem, which could require more than a one-time effort. Don't be too general, but also don't try to develop something that's inflexible. Remember, a Christian's life is not all peace and joy. Consider all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. James 1, 2, and 3. I think we all have gone through some financial trials. Some of you are getting into it now. Others are in the midst of it, and others are coming out of it. For plans to succeed, God's wisdom must be weighed before every decision. Remember, planning can be broken down into several sectors, short-range plans and long-range plans. The unfolding of God's words gives light. It gives understanding, Psalms 119, 130. What are short-range plans? Short-range plans are executed daily. They include paying bills, buying groceries, saving for vacation, saving for college education or emergencies or taxes. Everyone needs to establish short and long-range plans. Failure to do so does not eliminate them. It simply results in anxiety, anger, and frustration. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Luke 14, 28. The Christian home should be characterized by orderliness and excellence. Neither is possible without good communication and good planning. The following principles will help you establish useful and biblical plans. God has a plan for your life. Follow his plan and not your neighbor's. Step to short-range plan. Establish written plans and goals. A written goal helps you by providing visible, objective, and realistic plans. In the area of finances, this plan is called a budget. Commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. Proverbs 16:3. What is the first step in biblical planning? The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his step. Proverbs 16:9. Commit God's portion first. This is the cornerstone and essential element in any financial planning or program. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Control or eliminate the use of credit card. In many families today, credit is out of control. Debt equates to bondage and is the number one destroyer of marriages and families today. Families in bondage must stop the misuse of credit to ever escape. If you can't pay it in cash, you can't afford it. Or if you cannot pay off your credit card, you cannot afford it. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures and turmoil with it, Proverbs 15:16. Many families in financial difficulties think that by generating more income, such as having the wife go to work, is the easiest and best way to solve their problems. That usually is not the case. Most problems is simply overspending, not insufficient funds. In fact, more income will sometimes worsen the problem. Remember, water reaches its own level. As the total level of spending increases, so does the use of credit. Generating more money, consolidating loans, filing bankruptcies, all treat the symptoms, but does not solve the problem. Like our government, whether it be federal, state, or county, it is simple math: overspending, spending more than you have, robbing Peter to pay Paul, taking hurricane money, putting it in the state budget and calling that balance. The county, they can't balance the budget. They take the road money, put it in the budget, and they call that balancing. If you did that in business, they'd put you in jail. Reduce expenses. That may mean eating out less, foregoing a vacation, selling a boat, or even sizing down your home, selling a car if you have multiple cars, having a garage sale. Don't overeducate. Find a cheap BA. Remember, it is not the school nor the IQ, but the attitude. Shun credit card debt. Ladies and gentlemen, we're heading into a very foggy era in our lives. Finances is so important. Follow biblical plans. Otherwise, you'll be in deep, deep straits. This country is in big trouble, and our leaders are in bigger trouble because they don't know what they're doing. Pray first and give God an opportunity to provide. If our prayers are in God's will, He will sometime manifest Himself in our finances by providing totally from unexpected sources. One of the greatest joys in a Christian's life is to experience God's love through His miraculous provisions. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Psalms 37:7. If you allow others to establish your priorities and goals, you are going to be frustrated and unhappy. Remember that God has a plan for your life. Follow His plan, not your neighbor's. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, Jeremiah 29:11. When Jesus is all you got, Jesus is all you need. In marriage, each partner brings in assets and liabilities in the relationship. To get a good balance in the area of finances, both must participate, talk, and listen. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Ephesians 5:31. In our household, we keep finances rather simple. I do the praying and paying, and Jill does the spending. I think I'll go home late tonight. There is a difference between opinion and advice. Everyone has an opinion, but very few people are qualified to give advice. If you need to have your appendix removed, you may go to your neighbor and ask for his opinion. If you need your advice, you would go to your doctor of internal medicine to get your advice. To whom should you listen? In this day and age, as people are planning their life, their finances, their ministry, anything, it is important to whom you go to and to whom you listen. Even in golfing, if you take wrong lessons or take wrong pointers, you'll be in deep trouble. So it is important that you be led by the Holy Spirit to whom mentors you or gives you opinion or advice. Few people make any organized short-term plans, even fewer long-range plans. It is said that people spend more time planning their vacation than they do their retirement or children's education. As we progress in our careers, our income tends to increase, so does our lifestyle. Without good short-term plans or long-term goals, we simply increase our spending to consume most of it, if not all of it. Financial planning is to meet specific goals such as education, expenses, debt-free living, retirement, and giving. Long-range financial planning, God's way, will provide but not protect. It will ensure that your resources will be assets and not liabilities. Often we make money doing what we enjoy, but later the motive becomes to accumulate more money for self-security, which would put God's resources in storage and not in circulation. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good work, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasures of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. 1 Timothy 6:18, 19. Take care how you listen, for whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him, Luke 8:18. Establish long-term family goals. Family goals are fundamental to future success. If they are accomplished according to God's principles, the rewards will pass on from parents to children. But unless we have sound financial goals and plans, how can we expect our children to be blessed financially and to be responsible financially? It is vitally important that the whole family be made part of God's sharing plan. Husband and wife should discuss this with each other and then with their children. Learned early, these habits and attitudes will pay deep, deep dividends in freedom from financial obsession and greed. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, 1, 2, 3. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasures. Proverbs 8, 12 and 21. In closing, much of your growth as a person will come through hardship and challenges. Embrace those and know you'll be better, wiser, and stronger with that. Live in God's heart and not in your head. This is the end of part 3. Thank you.